All right, so let's start with a scenario. I think this is going to feel painfully familiar to pretty much everyone listening. You open Slack first thing in the morning, and in theory, it's a place to get work done, right? It's the digital office. But in reality, what are you looking at?
A wall of red dots, usually.
It's panic room.
Exactly. It's a sea of noise. You've got your critical project channels, but they're mixed in with like lunch orders and cat memes. And then buried somewhere in that text avalanche, a project manager drops a 50-code PDF, something called, Q3 compliance updates. Be honest, when you see that file, what is your immediate gut reaction?
My immediate reaction is to star it for later. And we all know what later means. It's the digital graveyard where information goes to die, right? It's what we call content saturation. We have these amazing tools for connection, Slack, Teams, but we're drowning in text. Okay, I want you to imagine a different workflow for a second. You drag that dry 50-page PDF into a Slack channel. You go get a coffee. 5 minutes later, a notification pops up in that same channel. But it's not the PDF. It's a 10-minute audio episode, like a little podcast, where two professional voices are debating the key points from that policy.
Or it's a 60-second vertical video summary, formatted perfectly for your phone,
Yeah.
or even a slide deck.
And the crucial part is no human being lifted a finger to make it. That is the reality we are diving into today. We're looking at what happens when you smash together two very different things. Slack, which is, basically the collective brain of a modern company, and a new piece of infrastructure called Auto Content API, which promises to turn that chat app into an industrial-grade content factory.
And factory really is the right word. I think when people hear AI content, they immediately think of like a chatbot writing a quirky email. This isn't that. We're talking about something called headless content production.
Okay, stop right there. Headless content production. That sounds Well, it sounds like a horror movie, or at best, really complicated. Can we break that down before we go any further?
It does sound a bit ominous, doesn't it? But in tech terms, headless just means it doesn't have a user interface. Think of it this way. Most AI tools we use, like ChatGPT or Gemini, they're headed. They have a face. You log in, you type in a box, you wait, you get a response. You're the
Yeah,
operator.
right. I'm the one driving.
Exactly. Headless means it's just the engine. It's code running in the background, connecting systems, it's infrastructure. So Auto Content API is built to take raw data text, URLs, PDFs, and just transform it into finished multimedia automatically. You never have to log in to some website to do it.
So if ChatGPT is me cooking dinner in my kitchen, then Auto Content API is what?
It's the difference between you cooking dinner and you ordering room service. When you order room service, you don't go to the kitchen. You don't see the chef. You just make a request and the finished meal appears at your door. In this case, Slack is the door and the API is the industrial kitchen in the basement.
Okay, I like that analogy. So the promise here is that we might be seeing the end of the read-only workday.
We're exploring if we can turn a passive communication platform into an active production studio, and the implications for how we work and, well, how companies grow, they're actually pretty wild.
But I have to play devil's advocate here because my first thought isn't, wow, cool. My first thought is, do we really need more content? We just said Slack is already too noisy. Isn't this just going to add to the pile?
That is absolutely the right question to ask, but the argument from the source material is that the noise comes from the format, not the substance. We have a bottleneck.
A bottleneck. In what sense?
Well, just look at the economics of it. Distribution is solved. It costs $0 to post something to Slack or YouTube or Spotify. The shelf space is infinite. But filling that shelf with something people can actually consume, that's the hard part.
Because it takes time.
It takes time and a ton of money. Humans work on what the material calls linear production logic. If you want to write a blog post, you sit down, you type, you edit. One human, one asset. If you want to make a podcast like this one, it takes research, recording, editing.
And the costs in these notes are, wait, they're eye-watering. They estimate that outsourcing a single podcast episode can run anywhere from $100 to $15,000.
Exactly. And even a short social video, like a 60-second clip, is $50 to $300. Now, you contrast that with parallel production logic, which is what an API does. Auto Content API claims it can produce that same podcast episode scripting, voice synthesis, the whole thing, for about 10
Yeah,
cents.
hold on. 10 cents.
Euros,
Yeah.
specifically. So, yeah, roughly 0.0, and a video for about 4 euros.
That is mean, that's a 99% reduction.
It is. And when you drop the cost of production that much, the economics just fundamentally change. You stop treating content as this, you know, precious artisanal creation, and you start trading it like a commodity. You can flood the zone.
But does the quality suffer? Because usually when I hear cheap and fast, my brain just goes to garbage.
Mm.
If I'm flooding Slack with 10-cent podcasts, isn't that just more spam?
It really depends on the use case. I mean, we aren't talking about replacing a Scorsese film here. We're talking about business utility. Right now, companies are sitting on this gold mine of internal knowledge, SOPs, market research, product updates that's just trapped in text files. And nobody reads them because they have low mental availability.
Mental availability. That's a fancy way of saying, I'm too tired to read a 20-page doc.
Precisely. It requires a high cognitive load. If I send you a dense report at 4 p.m. on a Friday, your brain just rejects it. It's pixels on a screen. But if I send you a 5-minute audio summary you can listen to on your drive home, that information actually gets into your brain. You've made the company's knowledge liquid.
So the argument is that by changing the format, you're actually reducing the noise because the information finally becomes accessible.
Exactly. You're turning archive data into active data.
Okay, so I want to get under the hood a bit more, but we defined headless. But what is Auto Content API actually doing? I mean, everyone's played with ChatGPT. Some have probably used Google's Notebook LM, which does that podcast thing.
Yeah.
Is this just a corporate version of that?
It's similar tech, but the architecture is completely different. Notebook LM is fantastic, but it's a consumer tool. It's manual. You have to go to the website, drag your files in, wait for it to process, then hit play. It's designed for you, the individual. Auto Content API positions itself as the Notebook LM API alternative. So it's designed for the enterprise. It's API first. It has different endpoints. You can think of them as menu items on that room service menu we talked about.
Okay, so what's on the menu?
Well, you send it a PDF. And it has a transformation engine. And this part is key. It doesn't just summarize. Summaries can be pretty boring. It rewrites. It can take a dry financial report and turn it into a witty two-person dialogue and then synthesize the audio for you.
So it's actually adding a layer of engagement that wasn't there in the original text.
Correct. And it handles video, too. Vertical videos for TikTok, horizontal explainer videos, slide decks. But the real magic, and the reason we're talking about it with Slack, is how it connects. It uses automation tools like Make.com or Zapier.
Okay, I use Zapier. It's like the digital duct tape that holds the internet together.
Right. So Zapier is the bridge. Slack has this feature called Workflow Builder. You can set up triggers like when a file is posted in Channel X, send it to the API, then post the result back into Channel X.
Okay, automated enterprise is a nice buzzword, but I want to make this real for people listening. I want to walk through how a team would actually use this tomorrow. Because, you know, abstract is fine, but practical is better.
Okay, let's look at three specific scenarios from the research.
Let's do it. Scenario one, the internal private podcast network. We kind of touched on this. Walk me through the actual workflow.
So imagine you're an HR manager. You have a new remote work policy. It's vital. It's got legal stuff in it. And it's incredibly boring to read. In the old world, you attach the PDF to the hashtag general channel in Slack, and you basically beg people to read it.
And I ignore it. Or I skim the first paragraph and pretend I read the whole thing.
Exactly. In this new world, you have a channel called hashtag compliance processing. You just drop the PDF there. Behind the scenes, Zapier grabs that file, sends it to the Auto Content API. The API reads it, scripts a discussion where two hosts debate the pros and cons of the policy, synthesizes the voices, and posts the MP3 file back into hashtag general.
So as the employee, I don't even see the PDF. I just see an audio player that says, new remote work policy, the deep dive.
And you listen while you're walking the dog. Your mental availability for that info just went from 0 to 100. It's essentially a private radio station just for your company's internal memos.
I have to admit, I would be way more likely to listen to that. It respects my time. Okay, let's level up. Scenario two, the CEO paradox. The notes mention this, and I'm really curious. What's the paradox?
The paradox is that employees really want to hear from leadership. They want that human connection, the voice, the reassurance. But the CEO has absolutely no time to record podcasts or videos.
They barely have time to sleep, let alone sit in a recording booth.
Correct. So Auto Content API has a voice cloning endpoint. The CEO records themselves speaking for just a few minutes, one time. The system learns their timbre, their cadence, you know, their pauses.
I think I see where this is going. And I have to ask, is this getting into deepfake territory?
It uses similar technology, yeah, but the application is all about authorized transparency. The CEO creates a Slack channel, let's call it hashtag SEO updates. They, or maybe their assistant, can type a quick text update. Hey team, great work on Q3. Let's push hard on the beta launch. They hit enter.
And the API takes that text.
And it generates an audio clip in the CEO's exact voice. The material describes it as natural, steady, and believable. It then posts that audio to the company-wide channel.
So the team hears the boss, they feel that personal connection, but the boss never even opened a microphone. It creates presence without presence.
It solves the time scarcity problem. And for a global company, it also solves the language barrier. This is scenario 3, instant globalization.
Right, because the API supports over 50 languages.
So the CEO types that update in English in San Francisco, the workflow triggers, the API generates the English audio, but it also translates the script into Spanish, German, and Japanese, and generates audio in those languages too.
So the team in Tokyo gets the update in Japanese instantly.
Instantly. You've just multiplied your internal reach by 5 times overnight. No localization team, no delays. You just set up one Slack workflow.
It really changes what Slack is, doesn't it? It's not just a place you chat. It becomes a command center. You're directing this production crew that just lives in the cloud.
That's the shift. Slack becomes the marketing command center. And this is where we move from just internal comms to external growth. Mm-hmm. You can run a whole media empire from a Slack channel.
Let's talk about that. The outline mentions newsjacking. That sounds aggressive. But it's a pretty standard marketing strategy, right?
It is. It's the art of injecting your brand into a breaking news story. But speed is everything. If you wait 48 hours to comment on a trend, you've missed it. You're invisible.
So how does the robot help us move faster?
Well, the API connects to social listening feeds like X and Reddit. It has what they call tweet intelligence. It analyzes sentiment and context in real time.
So it's basically watching the world burn, waiting for a spark.
Effectively, yeah. Let's say you run a crypto finance app. You set up a trigger for crypto crash. The API detects a huge spike in negative sentiment on Reddit.
Okay, alarm bells are ringing.
The API immediately generates a deep research report on why it's crashing. But then, and this is the cool part, it drafts a script for a vertical video explaining the crash and creates the actual video file. It then posts this draft into a Slack channel called hashtag marketing approvals.
So I'm the marketing manager, a sip of my coffee, and I get a ping. I look at Slack, and there's a video ready to go about something that happened 5 minutes ago.
You watch it, you hit the approve button, which is a native Slack feature, and the API automatically publishes it to TikTok and YouTube for you. The whole process takes maybe 10 minutes.
That is wild. You are beating the news cycle without even opening a video editor.
You're reacting with high-value media, not just a text tweet. It's visual intelligence.
But I have to ask the quality question again. If we're just churning out content based on Reddit trends, doesn't the internet just fill up with sludge? Are we just creating spam faster?
That is the risk, for sure. Volume without value is spam. But the counter argument is something called programmatic SEO. Google tracks dwell time, how long someone stays on your page. And video keeps people on the page.
Sure. If I see a video, I'm way more likely to stick around than if I just see a wall of text.
But making videos for every single blog post or product page is impossible for a human team. It's just too expensive. With the API, you can paste a list of 100 product URLs into a Slack channel. The API crawls each one, pulls the text, and generates a 60-second explainer video for each product.
So you could technically launch a faceless channel on YouTube that posts, what, 5 times a day? All managed from a spreadsheet in Slack?
Yes. And because the cost is €4 per video, you can afford to experiment. You can target the long tail, those really niche topics that only get a few hundred views. You don't need every video to be a viral hit. You just need a few leads.
It's the industrialization of creativity, which is, I mean, it's both exciting and a little bit dystopian, depending on how much you love editing video.
Mm.
It's a move from scarcity logic to infinite logic. But this is where it gets really sci-fi. We need to talk about the future of Slack itself.
Agent force. I keep seeing this term. Slack wants to be an agentic platform.
Right. Slack's vision is that Slackbot won't just be some little notification bot. It'll be a personal agent working alongside you. But here's the catch. AI agents need structured data to work well. They can't just watch a video and understand it easily. They need the data behind it.
Okay, structured data. Can you give me a simple analogy for that?
Think of it like the difference between a novel and a receipt. A novel is unstructured text. It's messy. A receipt is structured, item, price, date. Robots love receipts. They can do math with them. They struggle with novels.
Look at it.
Auto content API outputs structured data. Specifically, it creates JSON files.
So when it makes a podcast, it also gives you a data file.
Exactly. It gives you the full transcript, the citations it used, the key takeaways, all in a format that another AI can read and understand.
So it creates this closed loop. The robots are talking to the robots.
Imagine this future state. You have the API running a recurring research template. Every morning, it scans the web for news on your competitors. It generates a podcast about it for you to listen to.
Okay, so I listen on my way to work.
But later that day, you're in a meeting. You can ask Slackbot, what is our competitor doing with AI this week? And Slackbot can parse the transcript and the data generated by AutoContent that morning and give you the answer instantly.
That is actually incredibly useful, because right now, if I ask Slackbot something, it can only search what humans have already typed. But in this scenario, AutoContent is basically populating Slack with external knowledge.
Exactly. The API goes out, gathers information, synthesizes it into human-friendly formats like audio and machine-friendly formats like JSON. Then Slack's agents consume that data to help you work.
But this really relies on that deep research capability being good, though. If the API is just making stuff up, hallucinating, the whole system collapses. It becomes a misinformation machine.
That's a crucial point. The source material really emphasizes that its deep research endpoint isn't just, you know, predicting the next word like a basic chatbot. It browses reputable sources, FT.com, SEC.gov, niche industry sites. It performs multi-step reasoning. It's basically a junior analyst that lives in the cloud and works for pennies.
I love the idea of a recurring research template. Just having a Slack channel that fills up every morning with a briefing or a podcast about exactly what I need to know. It's like having your own personal intelligence agency.
And that's the true power of the automated enterprise. You aren't just automating manual tasks like data entry, you're automating the acquisition and synthesis of knowledge itself.
So we've covered a lot. We've gone from HR policies to CEO clones to automated newsjacking. If you had to distill this for the listener, the person staring at their Slack channels right now, wondering if they should try this, what's the big takeaway?
The core takeaway is leverage. For the last 20 years of the internet, production has always been the constraint. If you had a great idea, you still had to spend weeks or months actually making it.
Right. The idea was cheap. The execution was expensive.
Now, execution is infinite and it's instant. The winners won't be the ones who can edit video the fastest or write the best copy manually. The winners will be the ones who build the best pipelines. The ones who figure out how to connect the nervous system, which is Slack, to the voice box, which is AutoContent.
That's the aha moment for me.
Yeah.
Slack is no longer just where we talk about work. If you plug this in, Slack becomes the factory floor. You press a button and a channel, and a product of video, a podcast, rolls off the assembly line.
It turns a passive chat app into an active growth machine. And it democratizes media. A three-person startup can now have the same content output as a huge media conglomerate.
That is exciting. And honestly, a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
But mostly exciting.
It's the nature of progress, right? It always feels like a lot until it just becomes normal.
Here's a final thought I want to leave everyone with. And I want you to chew on this a little. If I can take any document, a contract, a white paper, a blog post, and instantly turn it into a podcast or a video for 10 cents... does the document, as we know it, become obsolete?
That is the big question, isn't it?
Are we returning to an oral culture or a visual culture?
Yeah.
But, you know, just powered by code. Why would I ever write a report again if I know my boss just wants the audio summary?
We might be seeing the death of the read-only web and the birth of the listen-and-watch web. And honestly, looking at how busy everyone is, that might not be such a bad thing.
On that slightly existential note, we're going to wrap it up. Go check out your Slack workflows, maybe drag a PDF in there and see what happens.
Still worth a try.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the next one.